comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Quick update. Actually, we have two things very quickly that are related. First of all, the situation on Wednesday was really tough here on the show. Those of you who were listening or watching, you know that I announced that I was undergoing some kind of severe health situation and that I didn't know if I would be able to finish the show, but I would try. Well, I did. Thankfully, I was able to finish the show. What was happening was some pretty severe symptoms that I didn't know if it was a heart attack, a stroke, or what it was. But as it turns out, it was a diabetic incident. I was not aware that I had that issue. But now I am, and I am much better, and glad to be back with you tonight. Now, the second issue, I got a couple of emails from members, people who are members of the Kevin Smith Show, wanting to know, why hasn't the Watch Latest Show been updated? Why can't I watch the latest show from last night? Well, maybe because I nearly died on Wednesday. And of course I know, and I'm not being ugly about this, I'm just stating the facts. I know that, perhaps those members were not aware, of that situation, and that's okay. That's cool. Except I sent an email to all members who had checked when they registered. There's a little box that where you check, yes, I want to receive news updates in my email. And some folks don't check that. And when you don't check it, guess what happens? The system doesn't send you an email because you chose not to be informed. So we did send an email out, and it explained everything to our members in detail. And if you're a member and you didn't get it, even if your email address is in your profile, if you did not check that you want to receive those news updates, the system won't send it to you, because you chose not to be informed, okay? So that's the reason. Anyway, most of our members, 98 to 99%, have that checked, and they got their email. And I want to thank you for all of the kind responses that I've received. Now that I know what the situation is, I've taken steps to correct it, to alleviate it, to mitigate it, and things are back on track, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm back up to feeling, well, I tell folks I'm back up to dead. That's an improvement. So, anyway, tonight is going to be Open Line Live, and we have our first-time caller line with us tonight. That means that if you've never called in before, we have a special line for you to make it easy for you to get in. We'll be back right after this. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight is Open Line Live, and we will open the phone lines in just a little bit. I brought a couple of things to the table, and perhaps you will be interested in discussing them. One of those things was coming to the table anyway, but I got an email about it, this is a listener comment, and it's pretty long, but... It says, for more than a month now, I told you I was still, I was and still am worried about all the activity going on in the Pacific Ring of Fire, and that I'm really worried about all the shaking that's going on around the Gulf Coast. Don't let me have to send you a virtual hammer to hit you across the head in order for you to address this subject. What if it did happen here? Are we ready? Can we avoid the water? What type of system is out there for the public? Will a disaster of this kind destroy the USA economy? So I wanted to read that to you before I bring up the earthquake in Japan and the resulting tragic, destructive, catastrophic tsunami. I've done a whole bunch of shows on this. A whole bunch of shows. And those of you who are longtime listeners know that we have. We've done a lot of shows about all the earthquakes and what's going on. And, you know, for like 4 years, I've been talking about 2012, and I've been very clearly and precisely stating that December the 1st, 2012, is significant because it comes before December the 22nd. And I have said over and over that December the 21st, 2012, in my opinion, is not an earthbuster. That's not the beginning of hell on earth. It's the end of an era, at least according to the Mayan calendar, from whence comes the date anyway. It's the end of an era and the beginning of another. I have said over and over, and quite precisely, that you don't need to worry about December the 21st, 2012. What you need to be concerned about is leading up to that date. That in the lead-up time is when we're going to see the increased catastrophes, increased in intensity and in number. And yet, we had a caller the other night that said, I know you don't think much of the December the 21st, 2012. You don't think anything's going to happen. And that's almost right, but not really. What's going to happen is if that date does have significance, it's the end of the era of destruction. It's not the beginning of the era of destruction. It's the end of an era of destruction, and things begin to return to normal after that. So in this lead-up time towards 2012, that's when all of the massive catastrophes and destruction are going to happen. So do I need a virtual hammer to address this? And I know the writer said that tongue-in-cheek. No, we've been addressing it for 4 years, and I've done a bunch of shows on it, and when it comes to the Gulf, I had James Fox on talking about the Gulf. He was down there filming during the BP oil demolition of the Gulf, and so, yeah, we've been doing this quite regularly for some time now. But this incident in Japan brings us to the necessity of talking about it again. On March the 11th in Japan, now remember that happens hours before it happens in the United States. But at 2:46 local time in Japan, at 2:46, an 8.9 earthquake struck Japan and lasted for 2 minutes. It was powerful. It was intense. It was destructive, and it lasted for a long time. The resulting tsunami has just wreaked havoc on especially northern Japan. And those who are watching our TV channel are seeing now some video of the tsunami waters coming ashore and just wiping out everything that's in front of those waters. This video was shot from, I presume, a helicopter. It's aerial video. And this is just phenomenal. Just phenomenal to look at the destruction that this water is doing. Now, from the air, you don't really get the feel of how deep that water is until there are a few close-up shots that show large boats being swept inland. They are afloat on that water, and they draw several feet of draft. So this water is deep enough to float big boats as it moves inland, and it's just horrendous the type of destruction that's happening there. We can see that there are fires that have been caused by the destruction of various types of manufacturing plants and so forth, and the water is just everywhere. Debris everywhere. It's just a total destruction for that area. In addition to that, the Japanese Space Station Control Center had to be closed down. Also, there was a nuclear plant damaged by the earthquake. Now, the engineers in the nuclear plant, or the operators in the nuclear plant, were having difficulty cooling the core. And so the Japanese government ordered forced evacuation of around 2,000 people from the area. As we went on air, up until airtime, there had not been a radioactive leak, a nuclear leak, from that plant. It was interesting the way the report was worded, because the way it was worded was that there had not been a radioactive leak from the plant, which makes you wonder, was there some type of radiation leak inside the plant? Anyway, there have been about 2,000 people who have been evacuated from that immediate area, and the operators and engineers are working on trying to get that core cooled back down. Now, the writer of the email mentioned something called the Pacific Ring of Fire, and the Pacific Ring of Fire is really just the outline of the Pacific Ocean, the shorelines. Almost the shorelines. And what it's caused by is various fault lines around the edges of tectonic plates. And of all of the fault lines, there is only one that has not had a significant major earthquake in the last 50 years. Now, you may know which one that is. You may not. I'll tell you which one it is. It's the one right next to Oregon and Northern California. It's called the Juan de Fuca fault line. Juan de Fuca fault line. And it's actually the Juan de Fuca subduction zone. Now, the reason this Ring of Fire thing is important is because it seems like that the earthquake activity kind of works like a ping pong ball or a billiard ball. So you have an earthquake over on this side of the Ring of Fire, And shortly after that, a few days to a couple of weeks after, something like that, you have another major earthquake, but it's on this side. So you have one here, and then it ping-pongs over to here. So if you take a look at the location of Japan, and you look straight across from Japan, you're looking straight across to the Juan de Fuca fault line or subduction zone. Is it possible that this major earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan today could have that ping pong effect and set off the Juan de Fuca subduction zone, so that it experiences a major earthquake? Well, yes, it's possible. Absolutely, it's possible. But nobody knows for sure when that might happen. You see, all the scientists tell us it's not a question of if it's going to happen. They tell us it's only a question of when. When will it happen? Now, the writer of the email had some good questions, like, are we ready for this? Can we escape the water? And what kind of public systems are in place and so forth? Let me tell you something. If you're relying upon anybody to save your rear end when that hits, you're going under. If you're relying on public systems, you're going under. If you're relying on, I'm going to have, 4 hours, foreknowledge, and I can get in my car and drive away, you're going under. You have to be prepared in an emergency to take immediate action and immediate responsibility, 100% responsibility for yourself. It is possible that you might make it to the top of a building that survives, and you might possibly, after some hours, get rescued by a helicopter. Possibly. But if that's what you're counting on, you're not going to make it. If you're counting on that, you're not going to make it. You have to be ready at a moment's notice to haul booty. You have to be ready at a moment's notice to get out, and you need to have what a lot of people call a go bag. You need to have it already packed and stocked with food, with either matches or lighters, batteries, flashlights, water. You need to have that. Now, you might say, well, are you predicting that this is going to happen? Well, no, but yes. Sure, it's going to happen sooner or later. I don't know when, and I'm not predicting that it's going to happen as a ping-pong effect from the quake in Japan, but it could. And the fact, the fact is, if you live in Oregon, if you live in Northern California, especially near the coast, you need your go bag. And if you don't have it, you're late right now. What have you been waiting for? You need that go bag 24 hours a day, ready to go. And, the idea that somehow the government's going to save us from this, they can't. They can't. Didn't save you from Katrina, did they? And they didn't save you from the Gulf oil spill, did they? They can't. It's way beyond. It's unreasonable expectation. There's nothing they really can do except in the aftermath. In the aftermath of a catastrophe, then there are things they can do to try and help rescue people who survived but who didn't get out. At the time, at the moment, when it's happening, you already need to be ready, prepared, and understand that you have 100% responsibility for whether you live or die. And you need to go. Now, I'll get email, I'm sure, from people who will tell me that that's just unkind. Sorry about that. It may be. I didn't intend it to be unkind. It's just true. It's like people who are being shot at the moment, saying, well, I'm going to wait for the police to come rescue me. You better be in feet don't fail me now gear and find you some cover. You're responsible for whether you live or die. And you are responsible in these catastrophes for whether you make it or don't. And, if you put it off and you decide, well, I'm just not going to worry about that. I'm not going to have a go bag and I'm just going to live life. Okay, your choice. Your choice, and you have freedom of choice there. But if you plan to survive, you have to make preparations. And survival's something everybody, I don't care where you live, it's something everybody ought to be thinking about. You never know what's going to happen. You know, up in the Midwest, they have tornadoes. And out on the coast, they have hurricanes. Everywhere, you're subject to earthquakes. Everywhere. Some places subject to volcanoes. There's not a place on this planet where you're safe and secure. So you have to be prepared. You have to be ready. And your choice. It's up to you. But that's a big earthquake, 8.9. That's the biggest one on record in that region since they've been keeping records. There's never been an earthquake that topped that one. There will undoubtedly continue to be aftershocks. There have been, and there will continue to be. Hundreds of people already known to be dead. There may be, it may reach into the thousands, but at this point, hundreds are known to be dead. Rescue efforts are underway as they can, and it's just a bad situation. Our best thoughts and prayers for our friends and neighbors there in Japan, and we certainly hope that they can recover from this quite quickly, but it won't be quick, and it'll be tough. Now, another thing the writer wanted to know is this going to have an impact on the U.S. economy? Already did. It already did. Stock markets fell. Now, how far they fall, how long they'll stay down, who knows? But if you look at the video that we're showing on the TV channel, if you look at that, you will see that there is destruction of farmland here. Lots of destruction of farmland. And what you're seeing right at this minute, those are farm buildings. And the water is rushing in there. It's destroying that, and you'll see some more shots where it's destroying whole fields. Price of food will go up over this. Count on it. We'll be back right after this. All right, folks, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. One final thing on the Japan story and the email that I received that I read to you just a few moments ago. There are systems out there to warn us when there is a chance of a tsunami. And sometimes they work, sometimes they fail. Nothing is foolproof, so don't be a fool. That's the point. Nothing is foolproof, don't be a fool. Have your go bag ready. And then if you need to get out, you got a chance. There's nothing that's a guarantee, but it's guaranteed if you're not ready, you're not going to make it. All right. March the 13th is coming up. What's important about March the 13th? Anybody know? March the 13th is coming up. It is the 14th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show are well aware of the fact that the Phoenix Lights didn't just happen in Phoenix. It was not just one event. It went on all afternoon, and it was all across the state. So it was not just the Phoenix Lights. That's what we have come to call it. It happened all over Arizona on that afternoon. And it was witnessed by military people. It was witnessed by commercial airline pilots. It was witnessed by truck drivers, salespeople, people of every walk of life saw various parts of this phenomenal display over the state of Arizona. It was March the 13th, 14 years ago. So that's coming up. Maybe that's something you might want to talk about tonight. You might want to talk about Japan. And then here's another thing. I saw this on a forum, and I thought I'd just throw this out and see how you respond to this. It's a question having to do with the former Defense Minister of Canada, Paul Hellyer. And according to Paul Hellyer's statements, basically the U.S. knows that extraterrestrials exist. The U.S. government has had meetings with extraterrestrials. They know they exist, and that's basically his statement. So the question that was on that forum is, how much credence do you put into Paul Hellyer's statements? How legitimate do you think his statements are? So that might be something you want to work with tonight, and you might want to talk with me about tonight. Now, we're going to, it's Open Line Live, it's BYOT. BYOT means bring your own topic, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. I've thrown three things on the table here this evening, and the telephone lines are open. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. If this will be your first time to call us, we have a special line for you to call in on just on Open Line Live nights, okay? And that number is 623-237-3814. First-time callers, 623-237-3814. In the USA and Canada, we have a toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599. If you're not in the USA or Canada and you don't want to make an international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message by going to my website, KevinSmithShow.com. And when you scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show. On the right side of that picture is a link that says flash message. So if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message that way. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, thank you.
But I want to give an analogy to this 2012 thing.
Okay.
Now, understand that my background is in physical therapy.
All right.
And one of the most common causes of injury in the United States, probably worldwide, is a back injury. Now, a back injury is not a one-time event. It takes multiple injuries to build up mm-hmm. to where you're disabled.
Okay.
So if you're looking at December 21st, 2012, it's not going to be a one-time event. You've got all this stuff leading up to it, and it may be the healing process begins at that point.
Yeah, but it won't be over immediately. It won't be over when December the 21st, 2012 rolls around. If the Mayan calendar and prophecy, if that's correct, then that date marks the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. Okay, so we have the build-up, and it's like a bell curve. You have the build-up, and then it decreases back to what we would call normal over a period of time. Just as it took a period of time to build up to it, then it slowly recedes back to normal. And so, you know, my thing about December the 21st, 2012, is people who are looking for an earthbuster that day like they had in the movie, that's not in the cards. That's not going to happen, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. But the thing about back injuries is that when you start healing, you're going to have all kinds of muscle spasms, so it's going to feel worse for a while. Then it starts healing.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's going to build up. Then it's going to take some time to get back to where you can function again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think you've heard me say it. I think we're going to see an increase in catastrophes and an increase in the intensity of those catastrophes as we lead up to 2012. I think that's going to happen. And, hey, it is happening.
Yeah. That's just what I wanted to say.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Yeah, 623-444-5889 is the main number. 623-237-3814. That's the first time caller number. I'll give it to you again. Those who are watching on television, it's on your screen. But the first time caller line, 623-237-3814. Look, we have been seeing an increase in the number of big earthquakes. We've been seeing an increase in the number of little earthquakes, too. Places that don't normally have earthquakes have had swarms of earthquakes over the past few weeks and over the past few months. And so, you know, we have seen increases in the numbers of earthquakes and in the intensity of those earthquakes. And I think we're going to continue. What's going to happen when we have an earthquake that's beyond 10? I think the Richter scale goes to 10. What happens when we have a 12? It goes beyond the ability of the Richter scale to measure it. The earthquake that happened, I believe it was in, I can't even remember the year now, but I think it was 1996, wasn't it? The earthquake off of the coast of Indonesia with the big tsunami. Was that 96 or was that later than that? And all those, you know, some people say 200,000, some people say 300,000 people were killed because of the tsunami. Remember that? That earthquake altered by a very, very small amount, but it altered the time it takes for our Earth to spin around. There was another one down in Chile that did the same thing. And so the length of our day is being altered. The shape of the terrain is being altered. It may be that we will see some of the islands that we are accustomed to seeing on our world map disappear. That could happen. It may be that we will see coastlines disappear, reshaped. They don't disappear, of course, coastlines, but where the coastline is won't be there. It'll be way farther inland in some places. That's coming. You can bet that is the case once all these waters recede in Japan. The shape of Japan physically is going to be different. And, you know, these are intense, intense happenings. These are not little bitty things. These are intense happenings. And I know people want to be told that, hey, if you go to this, you move to this part of this particular place on the planet, you'll be safe. There's really no place safe. Any place on the planet can have earthquakes. Now, there are some places that haven't had earthquakes in a long, long, long time. For instance, right there at the Juan de Fuca subduction zone. There's been no major earthquake in the last 50 years. But that fact doesn't mean you're safer there. In this particular case, that fact means you're every day more likely to have the big one that day. It's not a question of if it's going to happen. It's a question of when is it going to happen. And then, of course, the question is, are you ready for it to happen? Now, we've got listeners in Oregon. We've got listeners in Northern California. And what I'm saying, of course, has to be a little bit concerning and upsetting because everyone would like to hear that everything is beautiful in its own way. Everyone would like to hear, that it's all going to be sunshine and roses. But we don't live in a sunshine and roses universe. We live in a universe that's dynamic. And we live on a planet that's dynamic. And every place on the planet is subject to major catastrophe of one kind or another. Think about that. I mean, you know, here in the United States, if nothing else ever happens to us, except if Yellowstone supervolcano blows, that's a catastrophe for most of the United States. Okay? So, it's not a question of I want to feel good about this. It should be a question of what are the risks and what can I do to prepare for it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mary in Houston.
Hello, Mary.
Hey, I'm the emailer.
Oh, okay. Well, I assume you had tongue in cheek whenever you said you were going to have send me a virtual hammer.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know, but I am new to the show, so I miss all those other wonderful shows you had on the subject.
Yeah, they're in the archives, and I'm certainly not scolding you. I hope you don't take it that way. I'm just bringing up your points and then trying to answer them. Now you're on the coast and you're in Houston. After Katrina, Houston got a major chunk of New Orleans population. They moved over to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are still there. They haven't gone back to New Orleans. And if you'll remember, this is after the Katrina hurricane. If you'll remember, relying on the government didn't work out too well there. Hey, can you hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. All right, we'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And it's Open Line Live tonight. Bring your own topic, BYOT. On the line with me is Mary from Houston. Mary, what I was saying about with the Katrina thing, you know, that's we've seen that waiting on the government to rescue us out of a situation, before it gets dire, probably isn't a real good course of action. They can come in later and do some rescue of people that are left behind. But, you know, getting out of there, you got to be in that feet don't fail me now gear.
Oh, yes. And I would like to commend you on the fact that you did bring up the subject, be prepared. Whether you need to be prepared or not, you need to be prepared. And basically, you hit the nail on the coffin. in regard to what I was trying to bring up with that email.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I added that was that I was listening to the news very intently when they finally started announcing the magnitude of the earthquake. And one of the USGS guys who were talking about, who were issuing the information about the tsunami warnings, that they would be issued all the way across the Pacific to the United States, and he explained why very briefly. And he stated that not only they're not only worried about a tsunami hitting the United States, but they were also worried about that earthquake in Japan triggering an earthquake between California, Oregon, and Washington, because of, as you said, that particular fault is overdue for a major earthquake. And he even said that the earthquake that might be generated from the Japan earthquake might be even stronger.
Wow.
The earthquake that might happen in the United States. And I was saying to myself, I hope people are listening and they're preparing themselves. I hope they're not going to sit up and here wait around for the government to transfer them to higher ground or a safe area. I'm hoping they're taking the hint that they need to relocate or whatever. I mean, that was enough information to get me to thinking.
Yeah, and you know, one of the really tough things that happens whenever they start to do, you know, if an area, pick an area, it doesn't matter, if it's a pretty heavily populated area, and they start to do an evacuation, there's too much traffic on the roads. It's a traffic jam, and you're just sitting there. And so, you know, it's a good idea for folks to pay attention and make what plans they can to get out. And, you know, maybe even if they feel certain that there's a high probability that it's about to happen, they need to take a vacation. Just get out of town for a day or two.
Yeah, go visit a relative on the opposite side of the continent if you can.
Or come to Houston.
You know, yeah, and I'm still worried about the Gulf shaking. But the thing is, I get the feeling that even if they knew that we were on the imminent verge of having a major earthquake in any area in the United States, they really wouldn't directly announce it. In Texas, because of the Katrina debacle, and also, I forgot what that other tropical storm or hurricane that came through. And
well, there was Rita.
Tried to make it to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
People sat on the freeway for like 24 hours just trying to get out of Houston. They decided that when they have a major evacuation that they would shut down all lanes of the freeway, and all lanes of the freeway past a certain zone would be one direction. But still, Houston has more than 4 million people in it. I don't know how many people are in the cities along the California coast, but even then, you're going to have traffic snarls, and you shouldn't wait on public transportation, and you shouldn't wait for the last minute. I was looking at some of those videos with the tsunami waves coming in, and you could actually see people pulling off the side of the road to stop and look at the water, and I'm sitting up here saying, my foot would be flooring that car. I mean, it would be airborne. I'd be driving so fast. It's no time to panic. And like you said, at a moment's notice, you need to get up and move. You have to be decisive,
yeah,
and ready to go.
And what one of the things that people need, you know, you got to move in the right direction. If it's a tsunami coming in, you need to be moving to higher ground. Now, you may be living in a place where it's miles to ground that looks higher, but you head that direction because ever so slightly the ground is getting higher as you get further along the way. You have your escape route planned, have your go bag ready, and, you know, you just go. And, you know, I will tell you this. I've been in one evacuation, and it was not because of any natural disaster. It was because of war. But when they tell you to go, you got to go. And if you're not packed, it's too late. And you know, so when the warnings come that hey, it's about to hit, you got to go. And it's too late to pack.
Okay, Kevin, you're doing a great job, and you actually hit the nail on the coffin.
All right. Thanks very much, Mary.
Better.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, part of it's speculation, and there are scientists certainly that will say there's nothing to this. Nevertheless, I speculate that as we are moving through this galactic medium, you know, the galaxy kind of has an equator. And our solar system bobs up and down through that equator. So as we're bobbing up through or coming back down, we are exposed, as we go through that galactic medium, we're exposed to forces that are different than at other times. And you don't go through it in a day. Okay, it takes a while to get through it. And I would suspect, although I can't prove it, I would suspect that being exposed to forces different than what we would call normal sort of helps to set off some of this stuff. It sort of helps to set off some of the catastrophes. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. It's an opinion, but if that's the case, we're in this for a little while, and so we're going to see some more catastrophes. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Oh, gee. Yeah, I've been listening to this since more. I have friends in every area. This is crazy. I had a friend in New Zealand. She just let me know that she's fine. She's from Christchurch.
Uh-huh.
I have friends in Hawaii. So far, everybody's fine there. But I'm still waiting on a count on my friend who's in Tokyo. And she lives there. Nobody's mm-hmm. heard from her yet. So.
Well, I don't know, but I don't think Tokyo... at least for the tsunami. I don't think Tokyo was hit with the tsunami.
No, but it was hit with the earthquake. It really took quite a beating, actually.
Yeah, Haya, hang on. We have to step away for break. I'll come right back to you. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me is Haya from Canada. And I'm sorry, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because the break took over. But you were telling us that you've heard from friends around various places around the world, and they're okay. Well, you hadn't heard from Tokyo yet. You know, I would suspect their telecommunications are probably pretty much down.
Yeah, I think they are. And there's also the concern of the Philippines and a few other areas. You know, Kevin, I have been following these for quite a while now, and also different issues like on HARP. I find this whole thing very suspect. I'd say it's call it instinct. This doesn't ring right with me because of political things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you have these things, and then power changes quickly. It's just the sequence of events just don't feel right.
Do you think that this earthquake was engineered?
Yes, I do.
What do you think would have been the purpose for doing so?
I think it has a lot to do right now with the world economy, and I think they just had a talks with the Japanese minister not too long ago. I think it was the States, some type of negotiation that they were trying to refusing. So, and then some comments that were made as well, talking about problems that would happen in the country with possibly earthquakes. You know, I don't know, just call it women's intuition on a major scale. I had the same feeling when the Twin Towers went down and Building 7. Instinctively, I knew straight away this was all engineered on purpose. Couldn't prove it to you, but it was just, you know, when something doesn't feel right, there's something missing.
Well, you know, there are people out there who would say, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. And they use that as though that's something bad. Here's the deal. We used to have a minister, not a minister, a secretary of defense by the name of Cohen. And he was secretary of defense under Bill Clinton, who was a Democrat. Cohen was a Republican. He made the statement in a public press conference that the technologies for using electromagnetic weapons to trigger earthquakes and to control the weather exist, and that they could be used by terrorist groups, and that this is something that we had to be very concerned about. That was under the Clinton administration, where you have the Secretary of Defense admitting that those weapons actually can trigger earthquakes. So there's no doubt, there's absolutely no doubt that the technology to trigger earthquakes with electromagnetic weapons exists. There's no doubt about that. The question, I think the facility that we would suspect the most would be HARP, right?
Well, there's a few places. There's HARP in Alaska, and there's also one in Greenland. So it could be, you know, yeah, could be.
Okay. So what we would need to do is see if HARP was operating at the time. And
yes, I still haven't heard anything yet from that. I have mm-hmm. asked.
And, there are people that monitor HARP. You know, the whole world can tell when they turn it on. So I would suspect if it was operating, then I would suspect we'll hear about that within the next few days.
Well, there's a few countries where it was very suspect, and the signature of the electromagnetics that was there, you could see in the sky, it's a certain color.
Mm-hmm.
And if people start looking at all the footage, because it was during the day, you might have start seeing certain color happening over the epicenter.
Uh-huh.
Because they can do a lot of triggering of all, with the different fissures and cracks and weaknesses, you know, they can manipulate anything they want.
Would it surprise you to hear me say that I hope to God that's not what happened here?
I'm hoping that too.
I really do. I, you know, the problem is the technology definitely exists, and human nature being what it is, sooner or later, someone that has access to that technology is going to make very, very bad, and I would say evil decisions, sooner or later. I hope that's not what's going on.
Well, I think people are going to have to start really taking a good look what's happening with all these governments and what's happening, you know, who's in control, because I think you get to the point where you have to make a decision within yourself what you think is right and what you think is really wrong.
Yeah.
And you have to stand up and be proactive in that, and I think that's important with everything.
Well, I think you're right. And, you've heard me talk about that there are people who have hijacked portions of the government in the United States. And I know that they consider me, those people consider me either an enemy or a threat to national security. I'm certainly no threat to national security. I love my country, and I love the Constitution. But I view people who don't have a commitment to the Constitution, but who are in places of power, I view them as a threat to national security. And they do exist. But the thing about it is they exist in every government, in every country. There are people who are not loyal to the basic founding principles of that country and who nevertheless occupy high office. And they're dangerous. But it's worldwide. It's in every country.
Well, that's why Egypt, the Egyptians did what they did, and the Tunisians did what they did, and why people around the world are going to do what they need to do, because I think it's come to the point with the internet and people becoming closer in that sense, you know, people get to the point where enough is enough. Mm-hmm. We want a future for our children. We want a future. We don't want to live in a polluted area. You know, we have to start being proactive.
Yeah.
Talking about it but not doing anything makes you the fool. But when you talk about it, you also have to become proactive in it and make sure this follows through. As I said, it's you have to be the example for the rest, I think.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Hiya, I appreciate the call.
Thank you, and I'm very happy that you're back. And take lots of magnesium, your vitamin D3s and niacin, and make sure you get enough sleep and eat properly.
Okay. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us at 623-237-3814. And please, if you're a first-timer, this is a good night to do it. When we have Open Line Live and we have that extra line open for you, it's a perfect time for you to call, because it's easier for you to get in, easier for you to get through. And I don't bite. Really, I don't. I have yet to eat a caller. I'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts, if you're a first-time caller, there's the number, 623-237-3814. Also, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send us a flash message, and I will be glad to read it on the air, and we'll comment on it. We're going to get to some of those in just a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Good to see you up and around again, buddy.
Thank you. I'm not 100% yet, but at least I'm not in the process of dying on the air.
Right, and when I found out that it was a diabetic coma that you hit, I understood. I mean, I'm a type 2 diabetic myself, and I have to take pills, you know, to keep me in check. But as long as I take those pills, I don't have a problem.
So, well,
anyway, the mm-hmm. reason I'm calling is this Japanese earthquake may have far-reaching roots back into Edgar Casey's day, because I remember he told everyone that this ring of fire would start up, and it'd been going on anyway, but he said, watch the Italian volcanoes, Etna and Vesuvius, and when they start going off, along with other volcanoes around the ring, then you'll see these large earthquakes, and that like Atlantis, Japan could disappear in a twinkling of an eye. And with that big trench down there, we could see how that might be possible if the plates just slid right out from under them. And that would be followed then by the Gulf of Mexico breaking up, the New Madrid fault unleashing, and then we got a big problem in this country.
Well, yeah, and Mike, on the one hand, while I am not predicting that any of that is going to happen, no specific predictions, it just makes sense that sooner or later, every one of those subduction zones is going to unleash a major quake sooner or later. If it starts happening sort of in a cascading effect, like dominoes falling, that's really going to be tough.
And, you know, the thing, too, is a lot of these Planet X supporters are going that when all this stuff starts, we're having a polar shift later this year or sometime, that Australia will slide under the Indian continent, and it'll be gone. And then we got this lady who's claiming that this asteroid or whatever what it is, comet, supposed to be coming in on the 15th of March, and it's going to signal a lot of big, bad changes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of people saying a lot of negative things. What I say is just make yourself ready so that you can face your own mortality, and then you won't worry about those things. You'll deal with them as they come.
Yeah, that is exactly the case. But, you know, it's difficult for people to face their own mortality and handle it. It's difficult. I mean, I can remember a time in my life when that was very, very disturbing to me, to think that at any second I could die. And I can't point to one thing that got me over that. But, well, as you heard, were you listening to the show on Wednesday when I was having the problem?
Yes, I was, and I could see that you were like me. You had already faced that, and what would be, and you weren't going to just give in to it.
Yeah, and it's not bravado, and it's not trying to be a martyr. It's the fact that I know I came stamped with an expiration date, and I won't beat that date. And, you know, that doesn't mean I want to go today. But, you know, every time your heart beats, there's the possibility it won't beat again.
Right. And when you sneeze, there's a possibility it may not restart when it stops.
Yeah, so, and my point is just simply this. I know that's coming, and I know this is not the end, you know. It's, you know, so it's just not that disturbing to me, but it is for most people. And it is really disturbing for them to think, hey, this is it. I may not survive. And they don't want to think about it, and they push it off. And because they do that, they don't prepare to survive. So, you know, I don't think you're ever going to beat your expiration date. However, you could expire before that date if you're not prepared.
Yep. But you know, one thing, when people come to realize that when you walk through one door, you enter another room, there's another door, so you just keep on walking.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know how to help folks come to terms with our mortality. That's something everybody has to do on their own. But what I do know is that you can expire before your expiration date by simply not being prepared. So I'm prepared, and my deal is I will try to survive. If I don't, it was my expiration date.
That's the way I feel, and I like the poem of the Charge of the Light Brigade as an example, you know, of how if it's not your time, they're not going to hit you.
Well, they're not if you use reasonable precaution.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't just be foolish about it and go out there and jump in front of a semi-truck running 90 miles an hour and expect it to stop before it hits you.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, being prepared at all times is just smart. And, you know, ever since I got back from overseas, I've kept a go bag. I got a go bag now. And if I got to go, I'm prepared. I've got what it's going to take for me to survive. And then if I don't, well, it was just my expiration date.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, man. I got to move along.
I like that motto, be prepared.
That's it. A good Boy Scout motto. Mike, thank you for the call. Very interesting. Yeah, it's some people, you know, the idea about I could die is so disturbing to people that they don't make a plan and a preparation to live. And that's a big mistake. Rather than depressing me, the thought that I could die doesn't depress me. It motivates me to be prepared to live, to survive. And, you know, I just think that's smart. It's my personal opinion. I share it with you as a personal opinion, and you do with it what you will. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Leslie, and I'm calling from Oregon.
Hello, Leslie.
Hi. I was calling, you know, here in Oregon, I know you had talked about it earlier, about the fault line and and everything, how we're due for an earthquake. And I agree with you. You know, we all need to be prepared and do what we can. But I was going to ask you your opinion on something. It's just kind of what I've seen is I've noticed, you know, it's one thing to prepare and to warn people and to tell them, but it almost seems like, I don't know, there's like a, I don't want to say community, like there's like a small, like, niche of people out there that almost seems like, you know, like they're, you know, when something happens, it's like they're like, hey, look, you know, like, I told you this is going to happen, almost like, kind of like a, like some, I don't know if they, like a sick game or something, if that makes sense, you know, and I don't know. I just find that really disturbing.
Well, there are always going to be people saying, I told you so. Uh-huh. There are times when that point needs to be made in order to get people's attention and say, now listen to me. Because there's more. I told you this was going to happen. Now pay attention because there's more here that's about to happen. So sometimes you need to make that point just to get people's opinion, but that's not generally how it's done. I mean, just to get people's attention is that's important. But after that, you got to give them some additional information. And that's not usually the way it's done. Usually it's gloating. And, well, I told you that was going to happen. And my response to that kind of a comment is, yeah, so what?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Look, there are going to be people on December the 21st, 2012, if we have a real earthbuster on that date, there are going to be people who get that message to me. I told you so. And my response will be, yeah, so what? Mm-hmm. It was your opinion. Whoever sent me the letter, it was your opinion that it was going to happen. It was my opinion that it wasn't. You were right. So what? And so I don't think it's generally helpful unless the person who's saying, I told you this would happen, unless they are also now prepared to give us further information that can help us. If you don't have further information that can help people, what good does it do to tell them, I told you?
I agree. And also, you know, talking about being prepared, you know, and some people say get up and move, but you know, no matter where you go, it's, you know, Earth, it's alive. There's going to be some kind of natural situation, you know, and anything could happen. So kind of like you said, you know, why sit and worry about it? You know, it's life. You know, it's, you just be prepared, do what you can, and just keep on living.
Well, that's right. Yeah, and this will be disturbing to some folks, but we're nothing really but fleas on the dog. Now, ethically, spiritually, psychically, so forth, yes, we're more. But I mean, in the great scheme of things, we're just fleas on the dog. We think that we have some sort of indigenous right to be on this planet. And that is going to mean that we survive. Well, we can go back to a time when there was no us on this planet. Mm-hmm. We weren't here. And if we go far enough into the future, there will be a time when we're not here. There will be life on this planet, but it won't necessarily be us. And, you know, so trying to hang on to something that's inevitably going to come to an end is foolish. Mm-hmm. But that's my opinion. But trying to survive for the moment is not foolish. Mm-hmm. And because I don't know that the inevitable end of all mankind has come. I don't know that. In the moment, all I know is I need to try and survive. If I can survive for that few moments, then I have proved that the inevitable end has not come. And we don't know which way it's going to go. All we do know is, look, I know if you don't have gas in your car, you're not going to drive it. I know if you're not prepared with a go bag that's got survival provisions in it, at the point when you need it and you don't have it, you're not going to survive. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that, you know, survival is not an accident. It comes with some planning, for instance, where you live. Mm-hmm. You know which direction to go to get to higher ground from where you live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's part of survival planning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I definitely, I mean, you have to, you know, you have to plan, you know, be prepared. I just hope people don't let it rule their lives, you know, the worry.
Oh, yeah, there's no need to worry.
Yeah.
Because worry won't change anything except your enjoyment.
Exactly, I agree.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, Kevin.
All right, thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, big point there. Worrying isn't going to add to your ability to survive. It may take away from it. And it definitely takes away from your joy. You know, I've lived in a lot of places. One of the places I lived was East Timor. You've heard me talk about it. And I'm going to show you where it is. If you're watching our TV channel, people watching our TV channel can see on screen a map of the Pacific, and you can see Australia. And you see these little red lines. Well, just above Australia is East Timor, right next to one of those little red lines. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight, BYOT. Bring your own topic, and if you don't like the one we're talking about, we'll talk about what's on your mind, as long as it's within the genre of the strange and unexplained. And all you have to do is give us a call. The main number is 623-444-5889. If you're a first-time caller, you can call us on the first-time caller line. That number is 623-237-3814. Again, the main number, 623-444-5889. The first-time caller number, 623-237-3814. In the United States and Canada, we also have a toll-free number, and that is 888-223-4599. Now, we have some flash messages that have come in, and I want to get to those. I don't want to run out of show before we're able to do this. This is from Leighton in Australia, and Leighton starts out with he's glad to hear that my health is better, and then he says, by the way, can you touch on this radioactive issue in Japan? We're all worried. What should we do to prepare? Well, I'll tell you, in Australia and in almost every country, the governments have published documents about what you should do in the event that there is possible exposure to radioactive clouds and so forth. So what I would recommend that you do is check with the Australian government, and they probably have this online explaining what you should do. And there are probably shelters for you to go to. On the other hand, if you can't get to a shelter in time, what can you do to make your home as safe as possible against contamination? And so, you know, my suggestion on preparing is, for your region of the world, your government will have published material on what you can do, what supplies you need, and so forth. I don't think that there is a real danger at this point, at least what the Japanese government is saying. There's no real danger at this point of there being a leak of radioactivity out to the public. Plus, you need to realize, if you're in Australia and Japan is far north of you, if there is a radioactive leak from that reactor, it's most likely to drift right across the Pacific rather than south and toward you. So it's most likely to be a danger to people in the western United States, and of diminishing danger, but danger nonetheless, but diminishing danger as it crosses the United States, because it will thin out and dissipate some as it crosses. And some of it will have been absorbed by the first places it hits. So the United States, Mexico, and Central America, perhaps a northern part of South America, by the time all of the winds associated with the Americas get through with it. But still, check with your government and see what publications they have, and I can just about guarantee you they've got some. All right, on our first-time caller line, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling? We're waiting for you to hear it on the radio. Yeah, you need to listen to the phone, not the radio. There's a delay. So, caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Oh, I'm actually talking to Kevin, yes?
You're on the air. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
My name is Michael.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling from Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually Mike Wright, the host of the Perfume Garden Show that Pat comes on after you.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. I didn't listen to your show on Wednesday, but I do understand you had a bit of a wobble with your diabetes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I blacked out during one of the commercial breaks.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, my friend.
Well, thank you.
But this is. I'm going to give you a bit of a little advice, and if you might want to listen to me, and it relates to a show that you did last week.
Okay.
Where one of the callers was talking about stevia, the sweetener.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that was the guest talking about it. That was Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I don't know if the diabetes you have is the onset diabetes you get with growing old.
Could be, because I'm growing old.
Yeah. You weren't born with diabetes.
No.
Okay. Well, in that case, I have a few tips for you.
Okay.
And actually, I can relate some of this to myself. About 4 years ago, I was tested, and my doctor, the conclusion was I was 3 points away from being diabetic. And I said to my doctor, well, what can I do to stop this? And she says to me, she looked at me like I had two heads. She said, what do you mean, stop it? She says, Michael, you are going to be diabetic. All you can do is put off the day. And I said to myself, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to do something about that. So the next day I went and quit sugar. But I'll get to the point. I discovered stevia as a sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
A South American herb. It's been used by indigenous people for hundreds of years. Zero calories. It helps regulate your blood pressure. It helps regulate your blood sugar. And you can actually put a few drops on your toothpaste and it will kill gum disease. It's absolutely magical. So, and the other thing that I did, there was a book that was published in the late 90s by a German doctor called The Cure for All Disease. And in her practice and through all her research, she discovered that almost 90% of the diabetics out there with the diabetes that comes from growing old or bad diets or whatever cause, those cases, 90% of them, have a parasite in their pancreas. And it's the parasite that causes the diabetes. And once you destroy the parasite, invariably the diabetes goes away. So I used a parasite zapper and I took care of that. And then every day I was using stevia for my sweetener. So a year later, when I go to my doctor, and I get my blood glucose tested. She looks at my figures, and then she looks up at me, and then she looks back down at the figures, and then she looks at me, totally puzzled, and she says, you're normal. And then she says to me, have you made some changes? And then she went and took my blood pressure, and my blood pressure had dropped again. And then she comes over to me, she looks me in the eye, she says, tell me about this stevia. So my suggestion to you is you've lived in many places in the world. The vast majority of adult males have parasites in their system. The fluke in the pancreas you get from cow's milk, and we all had cow's milk when we were kids. And I feel that if you look into this, and look into a little these parasite zappers. They're just cheap little units, and they're very effective. And get some stevia for yourself. You might find a lot of the symptoms start dissipating, and you might end up actually curing yourself. But I'm just giving you my example.
Well, Michael, I appreciate it. I have made a note here, and I am going to take your advice. I am going to get some stevia. And
yes.
I would be more than happy if you want to send me an email. I'll have your email address then, and then I'll be more than happy to report back to you what results I get.
Well, it's absolutely safe. I've been doing it now for 4 years. I feel great. I sleep well. Before I quit the sugar, I remember I was getting tired during the day and needed naps and all that. All that's gone away. I've got way more energy now. So for me, it absolutely worked. And for me, it absolutely confounded my doctor. And, you know, I have a very good doctor. She's not a pill pusher, not by any stretch of the imagination. And I do appreciate that. And she was open to hearing about my situation. And I will also mention, while I'm feeding you all this, I do have quite a bit of knowledge on alternative therapies. Stay away from Splenda, which is an artificial sweetener. It has a chlorine molecule in it that's the same chlorine, relates the same group of chlorine molecules found in PCBs. It's toxic, Agent Orange pesticides. So nobody wants to touch Splenda. That's made by an English company, Tate & Lyle. And the other one, of course, is the Donald Rumsfeld nightmare, where he removed the guy who was blocking the release of aspartame at the FDA and put his own man in. Then aspartame got approved, and it's basically a compound that tastes very sweet, but it's made up of four poisons that are highly toxic to us, and it's highly acidic, and we need to maintain an alkaline metabolism. So
all right,
you don't have to take my word for it, but it's very nasty stuff. And to be honest, when I look at what's going on, I live in Canada, and when I look at what's going on in the US, aspartame's in thousands and thousands of products, and don't even get me started on the GMO thing. But for now, I'd love to call in again and chat with you, but for now, I just wanted to pass on some advice that has totally worked the charm for me. Okay?
All right. Well, Michael, I appreciate it, and I have taken notes, and I am going to follow your advice. We'll see how it goes.
Thank you very much. You have a fabulous show, and I was a little nervous calling in, but keep up the good work, and we need you around for a while, so, you know.
All right.
Buddy. Okay?
Thank you much. All right. Well, I appreciate it. And there's no reason to be nervous to call in. You know, I don't eat people. Really, I don't. I've eaten lots of stuff that most people won't eat, but I've never eaten people, and I won't start. Okay, so there's no reason to fear to call me. However, when you do call, turn your radio or your computer, however you're listening, turn it down. Because if you're listening to that to wait to hear me say you're on the air, you're late. You're way late because there's a delay, okay? So when you call in, listen to the telephone. Well, I was going to get to this flash message. We'll have to do it after the break because we have a break coming up. It's BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night, here at The Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue taking your calls, and we're also going to get to those flash messages I haven't gotten to yet. We'll be back. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight, BYOT. I want to get to these flash messages that have come in from around the world. This one from Rafael in Brazil. And Rafael says I can't tell you how happy I am you're okay. You gave us all a heart attack that night. And then he addresses the question that I asked at the beginning of the show about Paul Hellyer, former defense minister of Canada. And I saw this on a forum. It was the question, how much credence do you think he has? How legitimate is what he's saying? And Raphael responds to that. He says, I don't trust this man. He went on another show and said that global warming was definitely man-made, supporting Mr. Gore's take. How can we trust this man? Well, yeah, you know, look, by the way, Raphael, muchas gracias. I thank you for the flash message and for your thoughts. But let me say this. Global warming, in my opinion, is not global warming. It's ocean warming, and that's happening because of all of this geological stuff going on. All these shifting tectonic plates and all of these volcanoes. We have record numbers of active volcanoes in the ocean floors now, and it's heating up the ocean. When you heat up the oceans, you change the weather above them. And I think that's what's going on. I don't think that there's any evidence that global warming is man-made. It's if humans were not here, it would be happening. And proof? Well, it's happening on every planet in the solar system, and there's no humans over there as far as we know. So I think it has to do with going through that galactic medium. I think it has to do with strange stuff going on with the sun. Just a lot of things are happening, have nothing to do with whether man is here or not, that's causing all this stuff. Having said that, we are dumping trillions of tons of pollutants into our air and water. It's killing us. It won't kill the planet, but it's killing us, and we need to stop it. It's not smart what we're doing. Umberto in the United Kingdom, at least 28 people were killed, a news report said, as a consequence of the earthquake in Tokyo. Okay, so yeah, there was damage, there was devastation in Tokyo. I don't think the tsunami reached that far, but the earthquake certainly, you know, biggest earthquake in that region ever, as far as they know, for 2 minutes. Yeah, you're going to have devastation over the whole country, I would think. Let's see. Dean from the United Kingdom is glad that I'm doing well. A while back, he was watching a program about how to create magic sigils. It's done by writing an intention down. It's my intention to appear on the Kevin Smith Show, for example. And then you remove all of the vowels and repeating consonants. So using the example I just gave you, you would be left with these letters. TSMYNPRKVHW. When you take those letters, you then take those letters and begin to make very primitive pictures from letters. It almost looks like a cave painting. The point of doing this being that once you have the image, that contains your intention. And then you focus on it, and supposedly this is how a lot of corporate logos are created. So when you look at them, we empower the intention designed by the corporation, probably being that it's our intention to make lots of money. And he says, well, I found this interesting and thought it could be used in other ways. Okay. Now, folks, I've just got to tell you this. The rest of this is in a message that he sent me previously, and I've already read it, not on the air. And it's so good, it's so interesting, that what I want to do is publish it in the K-Files. And so I've got you right up on the edge of your seat. I know I do. And you're saying, man, why don't you finish this? It has to do with the names, the first letter of the names of the months of the year and what that turns into. And it blew my mind when he did this. I'm going to publish it in the K-Files if he gives me permission to. I sent him an email asking him for permission. And so, Dean, if you give me permission, I will publish that in the K-Files. Okay? And if you don't give me permission to publish it in the K-Files, you're going to have a whole world full of audience that's disappointed because I told them it's coming. Okay? It's really interesting what this turns into. Well, folks, we're just about out of time. We're close to the end of the show. And, you know, this has been a big, big day, a day for sure that people in Asia are not going to forget for a very long time. People in Japan never will forget it. Tremendous calamity, tremendous destruction in Japan. There's more of that coming to the world near you. We've always had these sorts of things, and now it's picking up. Now it seems to be more of it and more intense. I don't think that survival is an accident. I think survival is something you do on purpose. And I hope that you will plan to survive. It's my sincere hope, my sincere desire that everyone that's listening to me right at this moment has a plan to survive whatever comes your way. It can't happen by accident. It only happens with planning and preparation. So you need to have a go bag. You need to check which direction to go to get to higher ground. What are your possible escape routes? But then don't worry. You know that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Don't worry about things, because whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And when it happens, you will have made your plans and made your preparation, and you will be ready to face whatever it is. So there's really no reason to worry. A friend of mine who is of Mexican descent once said to me, if your problem has a solution, then why worry about it? On the other hand, if your problem has no solution, why worry about it? So worry, the only thing worry can do for the future is take all the joy out of it. But planning and preparation can give you some confidence for the future and make you ready and prepared for whatever's coming. One thing we know about the future is it's arriving every nanosecond. It's not way off out there. It's here now. Are you prepared? Are you ready? I hope so. It's been a lot of fun to be with you here for Open Line Live tonight. We've had some great conversations. We've had some great calls, some great flash messages. And I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everyone who sent a flash message and participated in the show tonight. You are what this show is about. And your participation makes it happen. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.